Welcome to the Ask Partner SVP call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star followed by the number one. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now I'll turn the meeting over to James Rolla. You may begin.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody to the Ask the SVP call. Nice to spend this Friday afternoon with you. The weather is so-so. Looks like the sun is trying to break through. But I am happy to spend this time with you, and I hope that you will continue to find this call valuable and continue to join us on a monthly basis. So I'm happy to report that there has been a lot of questions that have come in advance of this call. So I will get to those. In a short while, I have a few of my leadership team colleagues on the call with me, and I think what I'll do is I'll let them introduce themselves so that you know who you might be able to reach out to help resolve some of the issues that you may have, or any other way that we can help support you in your role. Before I do that, I just want to thank you all for. Besides being here, I also want to thank you all for the hard work that you're doing every day. I know and I'm hoping that you're able to see or take some comfort in some of the restrictions that have been lifted, and being out in the community, I hope you are still feeling, you're seeing the sort of a return to normal, but also that you're feeling more comfortable and that you're feeling safe. And if you're not, you know, and you want to share that, I want to hear those, I want to hear that from you, because sometimes this call is not just about, you know, whatever problems you may be facing with work, but just any problems that you may be facing or dealing with in your life, if you feel comfortable to share. So this is your call. It's important that you have a voice and that you use this platform as a way to express your concerns, both positive and negative. I hope there's some positive. And so I will turn it over to, I'm going to have the team introduce themselves, and I'll start with Thomas Kokoza.
Hi, everyone. My name is Tom Kokoza. I'm the Director of Operations over at Partners in Care. So, you know, if you're not working on a private case, you're working on a case that I might be able to help you out with. All right. It's nice to be here with all of you.
Great. Lorraine.
Good afternoon. My name is Lorraine Earle, and I'm director in the sports services area, and I have direct responsibility for the new cases that are coming in and for the case placement section, the area where most of the aides call and they get additional work. Aides are primarily assigned to supervise them, but whenever they're looking for additional work, the placement referral team is there to support and to help with you getting additional work.
Great. Thanks, Lorraine. Debbie.
Good afternoon. I'm Debbie O'Hare. I am the Director of Quality Management Services. Happy to be spending the Friday afternoon with you.
Thanks, Debbie. Kenya.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kenya DeLegge. I'm the Associate Director of Quality and Education. So any education questions, you can always direct to me. Thank you.
Thanks, Kenya. I got everybody, right?
Believe so.
Okay. All right, great. One thing that I want to just follow up to what Kenya said, I'm sure that you've seen a lot of activity and a lot of communication, a lot of notifications about in-service. Kenya can support any questions that you have regarding your in-service. I know that, just as a reminder, the in-service is available online only through the Care Connect app. And I know that that has been a bit of a struggle for some, but I'm happy to report that most of our caregivers have been able to successfully take the in-service courses that are loaded up on there. So if you are having difficulties or challenges with that, please reach out and let us know how we can help you. Just a couple of things that I want to cover before we get to your questions and your comments. The first is, I hope that you are vaccinated or that you are considering getting the vaccination. It is important to continue to be vigilant from a protection standpoint. The best way to protect yourself against the virus is to get the vaccine, but also make sure that you are still providing, that you're still, you know, following the guidelines. Wear a mask when required. Obviously, wear a mask in your patient's home. I know that there are some questions, which we'll get to. I think there were some questions about mask wearing in the home, especially if the patients don't want you to wear it. So we might get to some of that discussion later on. But it is important for you to still consider getting the vaccination if you have not done so already. I mentioned about the in-service. The in-service is required that you take the in-service. If you are having either challenges connecting or loading the Care Connect app, you should all have the Care Connect app by now. If you don't, it's important that you contact the office. If you do not have access, meaning that you do not have Wi-Fi connectivity or a means in which you can take the in-service online, then please reach out to the office and we can arrange for you to have your in-service completed in the office space. Let's see. Is there anything, before I go further, is there anything the leadership team wants to kind of message out or cover at this point?
Jim, were you going to speak about obtaining supplies?
Will you? That would be great. Could you?
It's one of us. We're going to do it. So I just want to make sure and reinforce with everyone the ways in which you can get personal protective equipment that you need. So the one is by going on to the Partners in Care frontline page and ordering the request form is there. You can order and request supplies that way. You can speak to your supervisor in case you don't have access, and they will submit the requisition on your behalf. You also can email the hha@vnsmy.org email address, and they can arrange for you to get your supplies that way either as well. And a reminder that you can either choose to have your equipment sent to you in the mail, or you can come pick it up in person, and not just in Manhattan. You can go to any of the VNSMY distribution or different locations outside of Manhattan. So you can go to Brooklyn, the Bronx, Queens, as well as even out on the island and up in Westchester. So, you know, we urge you and encourage you to make sure you always have a supply. And again, if there's questions, you can either reach out to your supervisor or to the email hha@bnsmy.org.
Thanks, Debbie. All right. Was there anything else that we wanted to cover before I continue? And Tom, we're good. Lorraine? I want to make sure that you – yep, good. I want to make sure that you all have enough work and that you have enough – because we have a ton of work available. Please, 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 if you want more work, if you're working less than 40 hours, and you need more work, we have tons of work available. I also want to remind of all different types of shifts, from short to long. I want you to also, I hope you're aware of, and I hope you're taking advantage of, the Refer a Friend bonus that we've implemented, that we've began, where if you have somebody that you know, a friend, a family member, anybody that you know, even if you see somebody on the bus or you see somebody on the subway and may work for another agency, let them know about Partners in Care, and I hope you have good things to say about it. If you don't, then maybe you wouldn't want to refer them, and then that would be a bigger problem. But if there are reasons why you wouldn't want to refer somebody to Partners in Care, I want to know that. But if you do refer your friends and you do refer your family, you do stand to gain a $100 cash bonus for every person that works here on your referral. So there are some qualifying conditions. They will have to work a certain number of hours before they become eligible. But I would encourage you to take advantage of that opportunity. The more people that we have here, the bigger and stronger we will be. So we desperately need your work. We desperately need more of you. Okay? So with that, I think I'm going to turn it over to your questions because I would rather listen to you speak than me speak. So I'm going to ask Harley to please now reach out to the participants and begin to take their Q&A. And then I will share questions that have come in advance of this call during breaks and during periods where people are getting ready to speak. Or if you don't have anything, then I'll certainly go over those. I'm hoping you have questions. Comments. So Harley, you can go ahead and open it up to the ask the participants to begin their questions.
Of course. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, you may press star followed by the number one. Please unmute your phone and record your name slowly and clearly when prompted. Your name is needed to introduce your question. To cancel your request, press star followed by the number two. Once again, it's star one to ask a question and star two to cancel. We actually have one question on queue. I'll just get the name. One moment, please. Our first question is from Alta. Your line is open.
Yes. My question is, first, I want to say thank you for the time you take for inform us everything around Partners in Care and visiting nurse. Because, you know, especially this year, last year, and this year too, we don't have like a face-to-face with the staff and Partners in Care. And then we appreciate everything you do like this. My question is, because right now with my patient I have right now, I don't have not this problem, bro. The main problem we have, because so many co-workers call me. I had 13 years with the company, with Partners in Care. I lost my job. I lost my patient, no matter what angry they is, because, you know, sometimes when you sick, you got a headache, you don't be happy. That's why I put myself in their position. And then I lost my job. The thing is, sometimes in general, we go to the patient home, the first thing they say, even before say good morning, doesn't matter if they say good morning or hi or whatever, but when before we clock in, they take the broom, the mop, the disinfectant, and that's, I wanted you to do that, this. And then the thing is, when we try to explain them what is the job we had to perform with them, they say, I don't need that. Even if they mentally good, they don't have nothing with the brain, like Alzheimer's or something like that. That's a regular patient. They need assistance. They do that. Right now, I know two co-workers call me, say, please, Alta, call them because I can express myself in English. I'm not perfect English because it's my second language, but I try to do. They say I'm a struggle because the patient is I'm tired. They said to explain them what are the job we doing, and then the thing is why the nurse, the supervisor, the social worker, I don't know who is had to do to explain the patient a specific what I mean house cleaner or clean after patient use or housekeeping. That's the main issue. You can ask any aid in the company or another agency, they can say that to explain what are the job we have to perform with the patient. I say again, that's not my situation right now. But, you know, I talk about for another age, and then I appreciate you help me. Oh, another thing, the PPE, we have the Care Connect. Sometimes I have problem to take the classes, the e-learning, but like it, the person start to talk, I'm sorry, but I don't know his name. I called the agency. If somebody explained to me what's hard to do because I when I finish the classes, I take the test, pass the test. When I get back, and then I have to take the classes again. And then they explained to me what I had to do, and then I did. It's done. I have my certification again. And then I appreciate anything you do with us because we needed you, you needed us, and then I appreciate. I say thank you.
Well, Alta, first of all, thank you so much for all of that feedback, and certainly the complimentary and positive feedback is very, very much appreciated. My name is Jim. I was the one speaking, and I'm sure that...
I'm sorry, Jim.
No, don't be sorry at all. I wanted to make sure that you know that I address all of your points, and I'm glad that you heard what I said, and I'll tell you my name again and again. You'll remember.
All right.
So such great feedback, and also some concerns because I think this is not something I've heard it too. I think we've heard it on a number of calls, and I think even some of the questions, and it all relates to really the care plan, right? The care plan. Is the main driver and the one thing that really outlines what it is that you need to be doing in the home. And there's always, not always, but many times, more often than should be, there's a bit of a disconnect between what the family wants or the patient wants versus what the care plan says versus what you can and cannot do, right? It's always and it's such a tough thing to try to, to be able to put one fix to. Like, it's not one thing that's going to solve the problem. But I think we still have to do something. And so the best advice and, like, what I think is the most effective, and I'll have my team certainly chime in here too, is anytime there isn't a care plan in the home, anytime there isn't a care plan that the patient is happy about, or if they disagree with something on the care plan, or they think that there's there's something they want you to do that isn't on the care plan, call the office. That's what we're here for. Of course, I don't want you to feel like you have to fix that problem. That's a problem the office has to fix.
That's what I think. I'm sorry, but, the thing is, we have to follow the rules for the agency, follow the rules that the family patient. We have to follow the rules from the patient, and then it's too many things. And then sometimes even we see the plan of care. We tie the hands to do something because we can agree with the patient. Never. We can agree. We confront the patient because for me, it's not professional if you do that. you know? We have too many people we can talk. Like I call, I try to explain to you in English the most I can, but it's embarrassing sometimes to us to do that, you know, to try to, because the patient has their own pain, their own problem in her body, and her their mind, you know, it's hurtful for them. I know that, because all the time I put myself in the position, not only the patient, it's only for the another person, no matter who it is. And then that's the thing.
I appreciate those comments, and I agree. It is a struggle. It's a struggle that I wish you didn't have, and I don't want you to have, and we don't expect that you should solve that problem. You have a lot of people that are telling you what to do. I completely agree that you don't want to, the patient, like, who's your boss, right? The patient?
Yes.
Is it the agency?
Yes.
Who is it? You work for the agency, right? And you are providing a service to the patient. And, yes, you want to certainly do what the patient, you want to be respectful of the patient. You want to make sure that you're doing things that the patient wants you to do and is in agreement with. But when there is a disagreement, or there is a question, or there is something isn't going the way that it's supposed to, the office needs to solve that problem. The office needs to speak to the patient on your behalf, because you are doing all the right things. You're following the care plan. You're respectful of the patient's feelings. You're respectful of the patient's wishes, and you're following the agency's policies and procedures. So when you're doing all the right things and there's still a conflict, then that's the agency to solve. So you call the office, you ask to speak to your supervisor. If you can't get a hold of a supervisor, you call and speak to the nurse. And if you're having difficulty getting a hold of the office, which I know is a problem, I do know that that's a problem, what do you think the best way for them to, when they're having a problem getting through on the telephone? Do we have a solution for that? We may not yet, but I want to address the fact that they may, they could be calling the office and the supervisor, like, they don't get the call, and sometimes it might need immediate action. Do we have a solution for that that we could maybe?
I hope the supervisor listen to you that. I want, because the first thing we do is call the supervisor. The supervisor say, wait more.
No.
It's hard. It's hard for us.
That shouldn't be happening. It is, and I hear that. That should not be happening. You should not be told to wait a couple of more days or, you know, let it work itself out. It should be addressed right away. Tom, what do we
obviously the phone is the first thing we want you to do, because we want you to try and talk to someone right away. There is an email address that we have, so that if you have issues that you can't get in touch with somebody in the office, or for whatever reason you don't feel comfortable talking about it on the phone, we do have an email address, and I'm going to give that to you right now. Give me a second.
Okay.
All right. So it's just another way. It's not the best way, but hold on a second. It's hha@vnsny.org, right? So it's easy to remember. This is an email address just for the HHAs to say, this is an issue that I have. We have a few people here in the office who look at that every day and try to address those issues. So that's an alternate way. If you're not getting through, it's something you want urgent, you can send it via the email, and we will take a look at that as well. Okay?
Okay, thank you. You know, I don't want it to, to jump, to do, like, send the email to you before I speak with the supervisor. I always, the first thing, something issue like that, I call the supervisor. Anything like that. If they don't solve the problem, then okay, now I know I can send the email to you.
All right, and I appreciate that. This is not like, like to get the supervisor in trouble either. It's just a different way for you to get in touch with us. You had mentioned some of your your friends, your colleagues, that they didn't, English wasn't their first language, they didn't feel comfortable. If they wanted to write the email in Spanish, there are people who read these emails who also Spanish is their first language, right?
Yeah.
So that's another way where maybe they don't feel comfortable explaining it over the phone, but they may want to write it down and send the issue in. That's another way that we can that it might be helpful.
But sometimes the supervisor in general, they punish us, you know, like we call for some hours or even in the PPE, we request some available hours. They say, oh, no, we don't have no more hours. Oh, that case somebody took already. Like they punish us because we call to not complain, because I don't say that's like a complaint about something like that. It's a part of the job. It's not complaint. Like I say something from the patient is bad, or the, you know, somebody else and the family patient do something bad, whatever like this. It's not complaint. It's explain what happened in the workplace we have, because any home we go in, that's the workplace for us. We receive money for that. They pay us for that. And then that's the job. It's not because
okay.
we complain for anything. It's something serious
also,
because
yeah,
also, that's the workplace.
I wanna be very clear, and I want everybody to hear this. Nobody is We're not in a position where we punish people. I want to make that, but nobody's being punished, and nobody should be feeling as though they're being punished. So,
yeah,
if,
maybe I don't use the perfect
I get it. I know what you mean. You're fearing, you're concerned that the supervisor may get upset
yes.
about something,
yes.
and then they don't want to give you cases, or they don't want to give it. That's not how we operate. And if that's what you're feeling, and if that's the sense that you're getting from your supervisor, we want to know that. So I think I'm going to have Rosa Marcus reach out to you, okay, outside of this call, and try to get a better sense of what we can do to address these types of issues for you, okay? Because I want to make sure that you are getting the right support, that you're getting the support from your supervisor, that when you do call and express your concerns, that they're heard and that they're addressed. Okay? It's really important to me.
Thank you. I don't
you're
think
welcome.
I need time, the whole time, the
no,
whole hour.
No,
with
no.
Me. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, don't feel that. I'm glad. I'm glad that you're sharing, and that's important, and it's for everybody's benefit. I'm sorry that you're having some issues, but we're going to fix them. We're going to fix them, okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your
all
job.
Right.
Thank you, all
no,
of them.
Thank you. Thank you all for it. Thank you, too. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Next.
Yes, the next question is from Luz. Your line is open, Luz.
Thank you. My name is Luz, and I grew. I worked in for the company for many years. I think if you have excellent personnel in the company, the excellent personnel is making a difference. The coordinator, the supervisor, the old person is very nice person. I say thank you, it's very, very excellent person. Everything situation I have, everything makes it solution. But I say too, right now I begin for the CNS class. I need to have something program for help for the hours. Okay, I don't make it too much hours right now. Yeah, I try for hold it for my insurance. Okay, I have something commission for time and my medication. You know, see, I have something program heavy for the hour for 2 or 3 months. Okay, finish for my CNS class.
Okay. I want to make so you need more. Did you say there's something about hours? Did you say you needed more hours or you haven't been able to get your hours? Tell me again.
No, right now, this class is heavy for me for. Something cheap, but right now for the pandemic, you know, I have too much hours in the afternoon.
Okay.
But I work to my senior class in the morning, the 9 to 2, but the 3 to 9, you know, I have too much cake. So I think she has something program for helping for the student, but I need holding for my insurance. But even I need insurance, I need holding. I no love for the insurance because I need you for my condition for the thyroid, my medication.
Okay. So you need more hours in order to maintain your insurance, right? Is that what you're saying? You don't have enough hours. You have the morning case, and then you need something. Do you need something more, right?
I need the coordinator help for me, but not too much hours in the afternoon.
There's not too much hours in the afternoon.
No, because I study for the and the morning. I study 9 to 2 for 3 months for CNS. Learning, but in the afternoon, not too much case. I make a case for Friday and Saturday, I know fly. But in the Monday to Thursday, right now for 3 months, I don't have too much case because I don't have a case in the afternoon. My question
okay,
is, we'll... the planning care has something program for help for the students.
I guess I'm not hearing the question part. Say the question one more time. I don't, if anybody on the call can help me with understanding what the question, maybe I'm missing it. Tell me the question one more time.
I'm trying to figure out if she needs more hours in the afternoon. It sounds
like
she has 9 to 2, which means it's 5 hours. And if she did that Monday to Friday, that would be 20 hours. So I'm trying to follow, like you, whether she's trying to find additional work, which I'm not very clear about.
We have cases in the afternoon. Luce, we have cases available in the afternoon. So in other words, if you need more, another case after your 2 o'clock case, we have one.
You can call 212. She can call 212-609-4442. And press option 5, and that's when you're looking for more work. So that number is 212-609-4442, and you press option 5, and it will put you to that link when you're looking for more work.
Okay, option 5.
Yes, option 5.
Yeah, okay, our coordinator help you. Sometimes everybody tries for help before me for the time, for the afternoon cake, but sometimes don't have it. But the thing, only thing for me is that right now I have 3 months for my PCNS class. You see, I don't have a lot of hours. I love for my children. Yeah, no one will know.
Okay, uh-huh. Louis? Yeah.
Yes?
If I would like to get back to you and see just how I can help you, if it's the afternoon hours you're looking for, I need to get your ID. I'm not sure I'm getting the full name. It says Louis. Is it L-U-I-S?
It's Louis. I think it's L-U-Z.
L-U-Z, my name.
Okay. Do you want to give your ID, Louis? Your employee ID?
114670.
Okay, let me see if I get that correct. Is that 114670? Am I correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. I will get in touch with you, this is Lorraine. Thank you, Luz, for your question.
Okay, so you understand that the coordinator is very nice.
I will call you back so that you can clarify everything that you're trying to. Sounds like you're looking for more work, and I will call you back to clarify. This is Lorraine.
Okay, Maureen, thank you for helping.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for opening the meeting.
Of course.
Thank you. The next question is from Loy. Your line is open.
Thank you. Hello, Mr. Rona.
Hello, Loy. How are you doing?
I am pretty good.
Okay.
Just need some clarity here.
Okay.
You have on those task codes, housekeeping, HHA, and I think something else on the task code. But recent, like 2 weeks, or this week, I noticed the task number 80, usually say clean. When we did our in-service training, cleaning was light housekeeping, which you mop. The kitchen, the bathroom, patient area, and you do a little dusting. One thing we're told, we're not doing windows, we're not supposed to climb up on any ladders to clean any place, and because we're not covered under any insurance for climbing. But now, task number 80 is now saying housekeeping, not cleaning anymore, and nobody tells us what that cleaning, housekeeping entails.
Okay. All right. So I'm glad I'm going to do my best with this. So I'm not sure where. So the reason why you're not to be climbing is because it's not safe. It has, I don't know where the insurance thing came from, but the reason is that it's not safe or necessary for anybody to be climbing ladders to do any kind of heavy duty cleaning. I'm sure you've heard this before, but it bears repeating. You're not maids, right? You're not house cleaners. You are home health aides, and your skill and your a big part of your job, the majority of your role, is to provide assistance and support with personal care and health-related tasks, right? Housekeeping means light housekeeping, meaning ensuring that the patient's area is free of clutter, that it is safe, that their dishes that they may use for their meals might be, washed. It may involve laundry. It may involve bed making, changing sheets, things like that. You don't scrub toilets. You don't scrub floors. You don't paint ceilings and things like that. So, again, this goes back to the care plan. Whatever the care plan says in terms of, like, housekeeping or house cleaning, housekeeping, not house cleaning. That's the difference. Cleaning a house is not what you do. You keep a house free of clutter and safe, and you do housekeeping-related tasks that are all listed on the care plan. So the task that you're selecting, and I'll let Tom talk about the task itself in terms of, like, how you enter that task so that we're clear. But that's the difference between what you should be doing. And mopping, I saw this question, I think, Lloyd. I think you might have sent it before. Mopping, it depends. Like, you could mop the areas that the patient uses, right? The kitchen, or if they are they have a bathroom, you mop the bathroom. And but you're not on the floor, like, with a sponge and on your knees and scrubbing, right? So it's light housekeeping. I hope I'm answering the question in a way that that's clear. When it comes to the task,
not really.
Okay,
what you're saying is what we know, that we were taught, that task number 80 on the care plan says light housekeeping, cleaning, not keeping. It says cleaning, and that has been there for years, saying light housekeeping, which nobody's going on their knees to scrub at this time and this lifetime up to 300 years. But what we're saying, what changes that code number from cleaning and now stating as housekeeping? It is not clear to the client. It's not clear to the aide. Because when these patients are assigned to VNS, I don't think the nurses who are assigning these tasks understand what it is. Because the client is asking you for something, and while they're asking, they were told, whatever you want to be done, you tell the aide. Whatever you want to be done, just tell the aide. So guess what? Whatever I want my windows to be cleaned. The client that what deem as cleaning? No, they're not clear on it. So neither some of us is not even clear on it either.
Okay.
I know what I'm supposed to do.
Okay.
But if you listen to the calls and what's happening out there, people are confused because they're asking more. I went to one home, and the woman had a ton load of laundry to be done. I could not do 4 hours, clean her house, give her a shower, do all this, and do a ton load of laundry. So I told her, whatever you need now, pick that out, and I'll do that for you. Well, she said if I couldn't do the laundry, she already had a ton of dry clothing to be ironed. I said, no, hon, whatever you're going to wear today, just let me know. I can take out that one piece for you, but I'm not going to do a bed load of ironing. That's not the task I'm here for. So it's not clear to a lot of clients as to what this is because it's not clear for the nurses who are assigning the task.
Okay. I got you now. I understand what you mean. So it's very similar to what I said in the beginning. It involves the care plan. And now the difference between just what I want to add to that so that I hope to address your point is that the nurses, when the nurses are opening and writing the care plan, they need to be very clear about what housekeeping means, right?
Exactly.
What housekeeping and what the expectations are of you as being able to carry out that task. So that's where the problem lies. And
exactly.
We will bring this as a team. And this is another one of those problems that exists. And we know that it's there and it's very widespread and it takes a lot of continuous and repeated reminders and communication up to the nurses that are supervising these cases and writing these care plans that this has to be explicitly explained. And to some extent, I want to be very clear that more often than not, it's probably occurring, but the patients kind of do their own thing. And we know that's also a problem. Meaning, when I say do their own thing, like they heard the nurse say it, but they still attempt to ask you to do things that that you shouldn't be doing. And so
I would cut you off on that, Mr. Rolder, because some of us had personal contact with these people, and that's when they ask. Actually,
okay.
This woman was my countrywoman, and she is on a two floor. She uses downstairs because of her foot. Her daughter and grandchildren uses the top floor. She's a friend of the nurses. There are two nurses coming there to dress her wound daily. And one day I walked in and she said, you need to start from upstairs. And I said, what am I doing upstairs? She said, well, my daughter and granddaughter, they have been using the two baths up there and it's not cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
I had to address that. And I waited for that nurse that afternoon out by the gate. And I told her, you need to speak with the client. And she said, what you have here to do? You're not doing anything. So if she asks you to do that, what's so bad about it? That was the response from that nurse. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So that's a different problem, and I will make sure that we message this to the right people. We meet with the nursing team we meet with nursing teams on a regular basis, and this is a frequent topic. And one of the goals of that meeting really is to talk about issues that are going to make the patient service experience a better one, and that will ultimately make your work experience a better one. So it's feedback like that that's really important for us to hear and that we need to bring and raise up to, to the clinical managers. That should not be happening. Now, there's always, there's always an opportunity to think and brainstorm, right, and come together and think about, well, how can we get this done? There's a difference between, well, do you have the time to do it, and is it something that's within the scope of practice, and maybe it's a matter of you just don't have enough time to get to it, or maybe the volume of what they're asking is unreasonable. But, a blanket statement or an answer like, well, what else are you doing? Why can't you do it? It's not a big deal. It's not an appropriate answer. So that's the kind of thing that we need to fix. So I appreciate that feedback. I'm sorry that that's happening. But we'll message it to the right people. And again, if that's happening and if you're seeing that it doesn't change, then call the supervisor and ask to speak to the nurse manager about it, the clinical manager.
Yeah, they got mad at me for what? Because the patient was on dialysis. And we were told that if we're going to dialysis with the client, we should be given gauzes. Well,
okay.
The supervisor knew, the nurse knew that the patient was going to dialysis, but they weren't going to tell us. What they tell me to do, go do whatever she wants in the morning, get her dressed, get her ready, go to dialysis with her. You don't have to sit in there. Where do I sit? In the cold, in the heat, until she finishes 4 hours? And then I kick her back to her house, and I told them that was not going to work for me. And they said others were doing it. What's your problem? And then I called the supervisor, and she tried to get in touch with the nurse. And when she came in, she had an attitude with me. What's your problem? This has been going on. And then the lady said, well, if you're not going to do it my way, I don't need you, which I said, this was fine with me. I quit because I was not going to do it.
Okay, you're not with this patient anymore?
Not that with that patient.
Okay. But
I never worked with that patient because I wasn't going to go back and stand in the cold or stand in the heat because you're not going to give me the proper equipment to go inside and you're not documenting it on the task code that I needed to accompany the patient to dialysis. That was never documented here. So I asked her to put it on the care plan so I can get my proper equipment. And that's when the patient and her decided that I supposed to have some attitude or having some problem or something wrong with me. No, I know my rights. And most of us don't know to exercise our rights. And my right was telling the supervisor I won't be coming back tomorrow.
It's always your right to say, it's always your right to refuse an assignment and not work on an assignment that you don't think is a good fit for you. It's always your right to do that. And I want to make that very clear. No one's making you do anything. So if it wasn't a good fit for you and you weren't able to resolve the conflict, then you did the right thing by saying, I'm not going to go back anymore. I think the key is being able to work towards whatever the conflict is, and how do we resolve it so that we can resolve it and that we can prevent it from happening in the future. So if there's any more details, and I'm not asking for it on this call, but if there are any more details that you think it would be appropriate to share so that we could look at this case a little bit closer and see what where some of the breakdown was or what we could do to prevent something like that happening again, reach out to Rosa Marcus. Do we have her number?
Do
you have her number? You already have her number? Okay. Share the details about the case. Okay?
It's an old case. It's been a long time.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
but it's just listening to other workers and hearing it's happening elsewhere. And it shouldn't be happening at this time.
If I could jump in, Jim, for a second. The case where, even if that's a case you're currently working on too, I'm very interested in that case where that code 80 changed from clean to light housekeeping.
Number 80.
Yeah.
80.
Yeah. 80. I'm very curious as to which case that was. So if you could reach out to Rosa.
No. So it's on the care plan. The care plan says 80.
No. I understand.
And it stays clean. But when you do Santrac has changed the word clean to housekeeping.
Okay. So that's what I want. I want to find out where that is because it shouldn't be happening, my understanding.
Yes. Santrac has changed that. They changed the voicing on the Santrac and then changed the codings from 80 that usually say clean. It's now saying 80 is now housekeeping.
When you call up? Santrac?
On Santrac. It's Santrac.
Okay.
It's in Santrac, yes. That it happened. Not on the care plan. It's Santrac. When you clocking out, it's saying task number 80. Usually say clean. It's now saying housekeeping. And that is why we are curious as to what housekeeping is. Because if it is saying now you're supposed to be doing housekeeping, what is housekeeping?
Right. And again, the question is, you understand what it is. You want to make sure that the nurse and the client also understand what it is, right?
Exactly.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Thank you for that. Thank you for that clarification. That gave me what I needed. I appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thank you. At this time, we don't have any further questions, but once again, for the participants over the phone, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star followed by the number one. To cancel your question, you may press star followed by the number two. One moment, speakers, for any additional questions.
While we're waiting for questions, because I know we're almost at time, I do want to share some of the questions that came in advance of the call. So we had someone ask a question for our home health aide annual administrative evaluation. Why not give us a link to the form, just like the one for supplies? Then thousands of us won't have to make our way to office to fill it out. So Faye, I think you joined the call, Faye Morgan. Maybe not. So I think that's an I think we have the evaluations that we are sending electronically right now. I don't think it's set up as a link, but it is something that we can explore because I do like the idea. I just want to make sure that we're able to do something like that in that way. I think the other issue is part of the administrative evaluation is to go over it with you, right, and review it with you so that you are clear on where you're meeting the performance expectations and if you need and when where you're not, if in fact you're not. So it's an opportunity for you to come together with the supervisor and talk about areas of strength, areas that you want to improve, what you need from us, like what your, what it is that you need to do your job more successfully. So it can't just be done on the computer alone, even if it is a matter of convenience. It would require you to have an interaction with your supervisor. Now that's been suspended as a result of the pandemic, but that's going to be returning again soon. So I hope I answered that question in a way that makes sense. And if not,
Hello,
hi, Faye.
Yep. Yes, with the administrative evaluations, we have it in the electronic form, which it is that we send them out to the aides, but we spend a lot of time going back and forth trying to explain. We send the instructions along with the evaluations, but we were spending a lot of time going back and forth trying to explain to the home health aides which part, how to complete the form, like adding their name, added choosing their goals, and things like that. So as a result of that, it was easier for us to get them in the office, and that is how, in areas that they are missing, to have them fill the form correctly. For those aides who live in Long Island or Westchester, we have been mailing it to them, and what we sometimes find is that it's being completed incorrectly. So as a result of that, we have to try to send it back again to them, reach out to them, send it back to them, to try to explain what it is that is required of them to get it completed. And that is the issue that we have in with the administrative evaluation. We do have it in an electronic form.
Okay, great. Thank you, Faye. And I think, are there any questions? Because it's just I think we covered some of the others already.
Still no question. Questions in queue. You may proceed.
Okay. I think there's one more that may have not been covered. We got the housekeeping one from Luz. I appreciate that. Here we have a similar issue with the health care plan was unavailable in either hard copy or digitally. How do I get this resolved? You definitely need to call the office and let the supervisor know that there is no care plan in the home. Patients scheduled late afternoon, evening almost always report that personal care has already been performed by themselves or someone earlier in the day. It's very difficult to negotiate these cases. How can we best respond? Providing service after 4 p.m. is the worst. I agree with you. That's a big issue and a real one. Most of the time when we're providing service at that time of the day, it's because we've had such a struggle trying to get the case covered. And so when we finally find somebody, the only time and the only availability that they generally may have is at after 4 in the afternoon, which is not an ideal time to be providing care, especially for somebody who needs personal care. So that's really where a lot of that comes from. I don't have a solution for that yet. The more people that we have working here and the more people that we bring back to work that want to come back to work and take work, we might see that side a little bit. But I hear your and appreciate your comments about it not being very good. If personal care has already been performed and there's nothing to do, you need to call the office and let them know, let us know, and we may need to make a schedule change.
I'm sorry. I thought you were done. I was going to jump back to the plan of care one.
Go ahead.
If you're using the mobile app to clock in and out, the plan of care will always be there. So even if there's no plan of care in the home, you will have an accurate plan of care if you're using the mobile app to clock in and out. Just throwing that out there.
Okay. All right. So thank you, Tom. And thank you all. We're at time. I appreciate you joining. I appreciate all this great feedback and this commentary. And please, I encourage you to keep this feedback coming. Call us. Let us hear from you. We want to hear from you. And I hope to see you again soon. Everybody have a great afternoon.
Thank you. And that concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect.